Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Somebody asked me what I was preaching on tonight, and I said the platform. And they said, "You sure are wise today." But you know, if you look at parables, 13 has quite a few in it. And I want us to look at Matthew 13:31. He said, "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed in the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, just show us what you'd have for us to see here tonight, and God will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, the common interpretation of this parable is probably not the correct one. Some say that it teaches that the gospel starts in a very small way and becomes a very big thing, and it does. It does. It comes in a very big thing. But I think Jesus is trying to tell us about the apostate Christianity. And the word apostasy means to depart from or fall away from the faith. Now, we know in the end of times, we heard Brother Perry speak on Revelation. I think Jesus is talking about the unusual monstrosity of a magnification at the end of the age, in which will be far from what God intended the church or the Christian faith to be or had begun. And we can look around all around us and we see how our world today is falling away from the Word of God. All kinds of horrific things out there. It's hard to imagine and to believe some of the things that are going on in Christianity today that would be characterized by or as Christian. You can find just about anything you want to believe. You can probably find a church out there where it is taught. And it just floors me when I think about what's going on. And people are just flocking to those churches, many times with a false, mistaken, or manifestation of Christianity in them. And I wonder, how can man be so deceived? And we know, if you read the Bible, that it's very possible, isn't it? The old devil deceives man. I'm concerned that people that are members of our church here that are not only in that tree, but I'm concerned that they're in the family of God. I want them to be Christian. I want them to be certain that they know what they believe and why they believe that. And so let's look at this passage of Scripture. You first see in verse 31 the pungent seed. The Bible teaches that, and it's correct, pretty well correct. We look at this little mustard seed, and we're reminded of the gospel of Christ and spreading the gospel of Christ. A seed that is planted, it says here, in the world and in the hearts of people. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in church most of my life, and I've heard the mustard seed is just the smallest of the vegetable seed. I don't know that, but it's a very small seed, I know. Now, in Jesus' day, we do know that the mustard seed was used to illustrate something very small. For instance, in Matthew 17, verse 20, he says this, "Because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say unto the mountain, remove hence in yonder place, and it shall be moved, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Small faith, or a little faith with Jesus can move mountains. So Jesus used the grain of a mustard seed to mean something very, very small. Now, the Christian faith began in a very small way, I believe, like a mustard seed. It was a little nation, Israel. Jesus Christ came and he called 12 disciples. And, you know, that's, if you look at the world and the world population, that is just a small drop of water in the bucket, isn't it? Just a small thing. Now think about this. Jesus said, we are to humble ourselves as a little child. And he talked about to humble ourselves as a little child and serve. Now, you know, what a small idea that is in the world today. Who wants to humble themselves anymore? Who wants to serve anymore? We're so caught up in our life that we want people to serve us, don't we? That's what the world likes to see. But here we are in a church, preachers and teachers of the Word, and constantly we're sowing that seed of the gospel. We're spreading it everywhere we go, or supposedly we should be spreading the gospel. We're living in a world where people are literally bombarded, you see, with all kinds of theories and opinions. If you turn on the radio, on the Christian radio, many times the speakers will be addressing some of those opinions and theories and telling you what the Bible says. But the seed of the Word of God, small though it may seem in a big world, is significant because what does the seed carry with it? The Word. And the Word is energized by the power of God, isn't it? It's the dynamite, the Bible says, Word. Listen to what 1 Peter verse 1, 23. Being born again, he says, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You see, everything else might pass away, but the Word of God will last. It's a powerful Word of God. That small seed of the gospel planted in the human heart can break the coldest of hearts. I told you this morning about a man run us off, and his father was about as cold as a man you could get too. But you know what? That seed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know when he was talked to or what, but somewhere along the line, I know he didn't go to church, but somewhere along the line, somebody had told him about the gospel, and he knew what his son was doing was not right. And the power of the Word of God, when he came to church that next Sunday, boy, did it just shatter that old cold heart and release the power of God in his life. You know, we never know who might be out there and who might be listening. Charles Spurgeon, as a teenage boy, heard the lay preacher quote a verse of Scripture, and he quoted this verse of Scripture, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth." And he looked unto Christ and he was saved. Folks, we never know who might be saved by the Word of God. It's just that way. It's a very powerful Word of God. And we are to spread that Word of God wherever we go. And if you will open your heart tonight to the Word of God, that good seed, you will be significantly changed in your life, you see. It changes a person. When you accept the Word of God into your heart, man, it changes your life. You won't leave here the same. If you do, something's wrong. You've got to change. It's just not possible to receive Christ into your life and go away and go to the same old things and do the same old thing. No, the Word of God and His power of the Holy Spirit now lives in you. And oh, how powerful He is at speaking to your heart. When Jesus said, it's like a grain of mustard seed. Now, He's talking about some things that has fire to them, has activity to them, has zest in it. Let me ask you a question. Some of you that's been around for a while, you don't have to answer this or anything like that, but just think. My grandmother, she was always, because back in those days, when we grew up as kids, you didn't go to the doctor. You know, it was our doctor was Dr. Cobble. He was an old doctor that lived over at Rusk, and we didn't go to Rusk very often because, you know, you didn't have automobiles as good as they are today, and you didn't have the money to waste on gas, and Grandma was the doctor in our house. And when you came up with something, man, she had a cure for it. Now, I don't know about y'all, but she used these mustard patches. I can remember when she thought you had pneumonia and you was coughing, man. She'd put you to bed and she'd fixed up that mustard patch or whatever it was and slapped that thing on your chest, wrap you around with a rag so it'd stay under. Now, let me tell you something. I can remember she almost burnt me alive. I tell you what, you know, made my body turn red. I began to itch. I don't know if it cured the pneumonia or not, but I tell you what, it made you forget about it. It made you forget about it. I laughed at Grandmother. She, one time, you know, I grew up with migraine headaches, and she just loved me to death, and she stayed with us. I stayed with her most of the time at her house. And I'd always come down, and I'd get sick with these things, and I just couldn't go out and play like everybody else, and I wanted to. And so one day I was there, and I had a bad headache, and she put me to bed, and she come in there, and she said, Booney, I'm going to rub some of this Bengay on your head. Let me tell you something. Woo! She got it a little close to your eyelid. And I jumped up out of that bed. I run to the bathroom, and you know that Bengay, when you wash, it just gets hotter. And let me tell you what, she cured that headache. I forgot all about the pain. I just wanted to go out and play. It wasn't so much to play with the kids. I wanted to get away from Grandma. I tell you what. But you know what? The gospel, I believe, is just that powerful, like that mustard patch. Man, I tell you, it can comfort the afflicted, and it can afflict the comforted. You see? That's the gospel. Let me tell you something. If you are a born-again child of God, you are a believer, and you go out there and sin, let me tell you something. You won't be comfortable. You won't be comfortable. You know, I was watching 48 Hours the other night, and Rhonda and I was watching that, and it was about this girl that was killed, and she was killed by her ex-husband's wife, and it was just a sad thing how people's lives get so mixed up. But her husband was convicted, and she was just new about it, and she had drove him there, and she had been taking a part in it, but he was sent off to life in prison. I don't know if you saw that or not, but she went on her way free and clear, but she was so uncomfortable. What she had done began to bother her that she just couldn't get comfortable, and she had our sister come to stay with her. It changed her personality, she said, and all. And finally, after all that, she spilt the beans that she was the one that helped and knew about it. You see, that's the way sin does, isn't it? And it just, you know, we get so uncomfortable with what we've done. Many people that they do things that are crazy. And the gospel either makes people mad, and I've had them go away from here mad, or glad, you see. You're never the same. It makes you mad or glad. That pungent seed of the Word of God. And then we see something else here about the gospel and the mustard seed. It's a powerful tree. It's a powerful tree. Now, it might be the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it's the greatest of all the vegetables. I looked this up on the internet. I didn't know what a mustard seed tree was, but you know, it becomes a tree. Now, when we was in Africa, y'all know these poinsettias you have at Christmas around here? They're really trees. And the first time I had ever seen a poinsettia tree was at that hotel we went to. It was a tall tree, and it had those leaves on it. And I thought, it is a tree. And we don't see that in Texas because we keep them short. But, you know, that was a beautiful tree. And I thought about that tree, and I thought about this mustard tree. They say they grow tall, and the fields of them, they're 8, 9, 10 foot tall. And they're pretty good size trees or vegetables, whatever you want to call them. Well, it's talking about, I believe, a one world power or one world government. And Daniel says over in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has a vision of a massive tree, a powerful kingdom. And here is the prediction, I believe, at the end of age, that there will be an apostate Christianity, a falling away, and it will become a mighty tree with many branches. And I believe that Brother Perry was talking about some of that in the study of Revelation. And today, we see so many religious organizations that are so big and so powerful, and they are so proud, and they're so prosperous. Now, you think about that, big and powerful. And I believe he talked about the Roman Catholic Church, how big and powerful it was. And then there's another church that's out in the Mormon Church. And we went out there going up to go hunting, and we stopped by the Mormon Tabernacle, and I just saw so many people, and you know, they're so, seem like they're so blinded by the things of God. In Islam, powerful, man. So they become interested. Not only that, I tell you what, right here in the United States, we see the churches falling away from God's Word. And I'd have to say Baptists are with them too. So we have many kinds of Baptists today. You just don't want to join any old Baptist church because you might be joining one that doesn't believe all the Bible is true. You say, well, how can that be? Well, it is so. So they're interested in their own self-existence many times. And a church needs and ought to be a great church that is friendly. I'm not saying that we shouldn't grow and be a big church. Some people think that over the years, a big church is not a friendly church. I've had people say, well, I didn't want to come there because I figured that everybody in there wasn't all that friendly. And I want to say, folks, if you see a big church and they're not friendly, it just don't seem to jive. Why do people go there? Because people are friendly. And they want to include them. And I had a lady come by one day, and she said she wanted for us to help them. And, you know, I've had people say, would y'all buy us a car? Y'all are a rich church looking at all these buildings. So you got rich people there. And I said, I want to say to you, look at the person next to you. They're rich. That's what people think sometimes. And, you know, we're not rich, are we? We just love God, and we're rich in Christ. I think I'm the richest person alive in Christ Jesus. You know, it's not so much the size of the church, but I believe it's the Spirit of God moving in that church. And folks, that's what we need to be. And listen, you pray for your church. You love your church. Invite people to your church. And always brag on Jesus. You know, don't brag on your teacher. Don't brag. You can tell them you love them. Don't brag on me. I don't need you to brag on me. It might give me the big head. Just give the honor and glory to Jesus Christ. You see, somebody said that was a good message I preached this morning, but it was really God. Because I just don't do things like that. It has to be God working through you. Always give God the glory. And in the last days, Jesus says, that grain of mustard seed is become a monstrosity of a tree. So we see the pungent seed and we see the powerful tree. But that brings me to the old dirty birds. You see, there's dirty birds that come and roost in that tree, and they make their nest in the branches of that tree. I sat out on the porch many days, sometimes a lot earlier than most of you ever get up. But I'm sitting out there on the back porch, and at daybreak, it's such a beautiful sight. And listening to the birds, oh, they come alive. They bring the woods alive, and they're just singing. And you know what? That mockingbird, she just got one of the prettiest voices. She can just about mock any other bird. And they're all singing. But that's not what Jesus Christ is talking about here. In the first parable with the sower, the birds came and they devoured the seed as it was thrown. And if these birds were sweet little songbirds, we could listen to them, but they're not. They're the old dirty devil's birds. And they join in with the church. And they represent false teachings. And they represent false gospels. And they represent false doctrines. And these perilous little dirty birds tend to get into our denominations. How can we think that abortion is all right? Some churches believe it's all right. How can we support these kind of clinics? Some churches support these kind of clinics. Folks, it's because of the false teachings, the birds that land in the trees. I've heard a preacher say, you know, the seductive sparrow is just a small bird who denies the essentials of the truth in the Bible. And once we deny the essentials of the truth, the virgin birth, sinless Savior, we're on a downhill slope, aren't we? And if you read Revelation 18, verse 2, this shows us the final manifestation of the false Christianity or the apostate Christianity. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, Babylon the Great is fallen. The religious system of the world and every rotten bird has fallen. Jesus predicted that at the end of time, what Christianity would become. And he predicted it is an organized form with very dangerous doctrines. Think about that. When you hear a preacher preach, whether it's on radio or it's in the pulpit, you ought to check out everything with the Word of God. You see? Don't take it for granted that, oh, we're in a Baptist church, or oh, we're in a Methodist church, or oh, we're in a Pentecostal church. Don't take it for granted. There's a lot of false teachings out there. And if you check it out by the Word of God and it seems square with the truth of the Scripture, you can believe it. It's from God. So, do you just have a religion tonight? Or do you have salvation? That's a good question, isn't it? Are you a, I've been told I'm a religious person. I see a lot of them on the way to hell every day. Do you have salvation from God? You see? Are you a child of the King? Are you a child of God? Oh, I'm a believer, preacher. Well, what do you believe? Well, whatever the Bible says, I believe it's true. No, you don't, or you would be in church. You'd be accepting the Word of God into your heart and living for Christ. You see, are you a believer or are you a Christian? It makes a lot of difference there. And it's not enough just to be in the tree, so to speak. The question is, are you in the family of God? There's a lot of birds in the tree. They nest in the branches. But I'd rather be in the family of God and sure of my salvation. So tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, would you trust Him as your Lord and Savior? Would you come to it? Simply give your life to Him? I don't know. We have a lot here tonight, and I suppose most of you are Christians, but you might not be. You never know where that seed's going to fall. Like Charles Spurgeon, you never know. You know, Teddy said last week he lived a while. He had been baptized, and so have I. But one day I heard the word, bam, and it hit me. And I realized, even though I'd been baptized, even though I came to a Baptist church, this old boy wasn't saved. I didn't have Christ in here. There's a lot of difference from having Him up here and down here. And you better have Him in your heart. So if you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, why not do that tonight? You know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, are we? No. We may die tonight. I don't know. But you can rest assured, if I die tonight, I'm happy in Christ. Now, can you say that? Can you say that yourself? If I die tonight, preacher, I know that I'll be with God. If you don't know that, man, you need to trust Him tonight. I don't care how many times. Old Jerry Vines used to say, you can be baptized to every frog knows you in the pond. But if you don't have Christ, you're still lost. I think it was every frog knows you by name. That's what it was. You see, folks, we need to be in Christ, in the family of God. Maybe you're here tonight and you're looking for a church home. And this is the place God's led you. Would you come? Or maybe you're here tonight and you've been saved and you just need to get something right at the altar. Man, I tell you what, getting right is key in having a good Christian life. It's key in having a good day, isn't it? Man, we are bombarded by all kinds of pressures. The doctor asked me, he said, the other night, said, preacher, are you under pressure the other day? Do you have any pressure? And I said, Doc, I don't know if I've ever been out of it. Pressure. Out from under it. And if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd never make it. I told you this morning, he says, well, do you have a heart? I said, no, I give it to Christ years ago. It's His. And He can do what He wants to with it. Folks, that's good. That's good. That's peaceful. Do you know Him tonight? If you don't, would you come? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings. Lord, we thank You for the people here tonight. And may the Word of God go from this place and touch others' lives. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would